804 Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Sour, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Time for the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. We're going to get into burner accounts and maybe some possible names for Squidbilly. Allie and I both admitted that we had burner accounts on different social media platforms. Yep. Do you have a burner account? Love to hear from you. Also, the conversation around Gunnar Stockton and Mike Bobo. What is the confidence level from Georgia fans, or what should it be on that front in terms of that offense moving forward? I think that most Georgia fans feel good about the work being put in over there, but, you know, there are some that are a little bit lagging behind. Before we get there, talked a little bit about Bo's wife dropping the baby off for their daytime care, for her daytime care. How'd the drop-off go? How'd the handoff go? That's a tough moment for a mom.
Yeah, she said she made it through. She's like, hey, no tears. I'm sure that she's probably gonna, and I don't want to out her, but I want to see how her ride home goes.
Yeah.
Like the initial
quiet in the car.
So I think, you know, I know her mom's decided, her mom is going to keep her now. And when we need it, you know, that's like our daycare. So yeah, it's really kind of young. 6 weeks kind of young to make them go back to daycare, but that's the world we live in. That's okay. You know, that's what it is. It's standard, you know. She took our whole maternity. And I only cooked like a week, but you know, I got to work from home a couple weeks too, so
right.
Kind of spoiled. But
yeah, I think we're all spoiled in this line of work.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? And it's entirely possible that with the rush and the new stress of taking Pork Chop to daycare, that Amy just wasn't really like thinking about the emotional weight of it. So
that's
maybe there was a moment later on coming where you're gonna have to be a supportive husband.
Oh,
and let her know it's okay to be upset right now. It's
attaboy.
A big day.
Well, I did. I have a feeling that she's gonna get somewhere down the road. I don't think she's listening. I just have a feeling she's gonna get somewhere down the road and like.
Is this the first time that the baby's ever been away from both of y'all?
Yes, we've been away from. The baby, the other one of us was there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This is the first time.
Both.
Yeah. Like I took her to my parents and Amy got, you know, a little bit of time off, like an hour or two. And then obviously I've been at work when. But yeah, this is the first time that she's been around anyone that's not Amy or myself. That wasn't a nurse in a hospital. And even then, I like followed them around.
I can't quite relate, but I did drop off my dogs at daycare one time. And to watch them on the webcam having fun without me, it made me sad.
Do you ever, because I used to do this too. I used to watch Charlie at daycare on the doggy cam. And I'd be like, why aren't they paying it? Why is anybody paying attention to him? Can somebody give him a treat?
Yeah.
What's the deal? Where's he at? Everybody else is having a lot of fun.
Right. Or my little girl dog loves to be picked up. And I'm like, why are they not picking
her up?
I need to call them.
And you get, like, I get to do that now at my kids' daycare where I'm like zoning in. I'm like, why is he playing by himself? Why is he playing by himself? They know he's shy. Somebody help. Anyway.
Well, that's probably why he's playing by himself, because he was shy.
I know. I'm like, man, one of the teachers need to go over there and play with him.
Bring him
no,
in.
Himself. But isn't, hold on, I know you're joking. I know you're joking, but isn't that like part of the process is kind of learning?
Yeah,
he's
going to learn his way through it.
You got to learn to be your own person and then learn to know when you have to stand up for yourself or reach out for yourself and say, hey, I want to play with the Tonka car or whatever. You know?
Give that back. Yeah, he's definitely had a couple of opportunities where he needed to stand up for himself, and there's been times that he's gone too far.
Have you ever given him? My parents
told somebody was going to hit him in the face last week.
Really? Well,
that's what I was about to ask you. My parents used to give us a speech: "We don't start fights; we finish them."
Yeah.
Is that what you do? Is that your speech? Is that the Michael P. speech? Hey!
Yeah, but
we'll start it.
It's
we
a little more
it.
A little more nuanced than that, but yeah, I mean, essentially, I think that's, you know, look, treat people how you want to be treated. And it's kind of go from there.
And don't hit him in the face.
Yeah, don't hit him in the face. Don't look. If you're going to hit somebody in the face, just hit him. you don't need to tell him it's coming.
Hey, if you're going to shoot. Don't talk about
right,
it.
Don't tell me about it.
I can see Mike going, hey, no, we'll start fights. Finish them.
Yeah.
Roll Tide.
Yeah. He does love saying Roll Tide. He has no idea what I'm even talking about. He'll say, go Falcons, rise up, Roll Tide for Alabama.
I think I'm going to.
Hey, cool.
I think when she starts talking, I'm going to end every sentence with, rise up.
Yeah.
But I'm going to, rise up.
Yeah.
You're going to teach her to say Matt Olson?
That'd be her first. Yeah.
Yeah, but maybe I'll teach her to say it in German.
Yeah. Allie, you got any ideas for the burner account for Bo? Look, can we get a, you know, a cephalopod Billy?
Like, I mean, there's a few that we could go with. There's calamari cousin, you know.
Yes! Winner! Round one!
Calamari cousin.
Winner!
Well, why couldn't you save that one for off the air?
Wow.
There's some really good ones here. There's also Bogan Freeman.
Bogan Freeman.
That's good, too.
Botox Squid. Okay.
Yeah.
Botox Squid. Morgan Spite Account. That one might be a little bit revealing. Not Your Step Squid.
These are also some good, like, fantasy football names for you, too, Bo.
I'm going to change the Squid Swimmers to one of
Bogan
these now.
Bogan Freeman.
Squid Billy Verified in Hell. and then also, this one's pretty, I think people will figure it out, but just simply, at Not Bo Morgan.
Yeah, that might be an issue.
You know what I might do? Is I might be call it Squid Billy Stan Account, and then just, like, crap on me and be like, you suck, like just harass my, like, tweet at myself, like, go back and forth, and then get people to think that it's not me, and then I can, you know,
yeah, and that way you could put the profile picture that somebody made of you as a Florida man. Do you remember that one with the mullet?
I don't have it,
the crew cut.
Yeah,
so good.
I'm pretty sure I know someone that's in this market, in this business, that has their own, had a burner account, and then tried to act like it wasn't them, and we knew it was them, and pretty much would but they'd also make fun of themselves.
You want to put them on blast real quick?
Yeah.
Interesting.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, I worked with them.
Let's go to the phone lines, Dylan. Let's bring in our buddy Dan from Decatur. Dan, good morning, man. What's going on?
What's going on, morning show fam? I'm a bold mofo. I ain't doing no burner account. If I'm watching, I'm watching. If I see you, I see you. And most of the time, when I get on the internet, it's just like, I see stuff. I guess I was just supposed to see it right then. So I don't need no burner account to watch you. You see me, I'm watching. I'm looking. So guess what? I'm a bold mofo. Yeah. Hell with the burner account. But as far as Gunnar Stockton, I haven't seen enough. And I'm not saying that the kid doesn't have it, or I just haven't personally seen enough. But on top of that, Georgia has to get back to the consistent running game in order for Gunnar Stockton to be successful. That's just me. It's a first year starter. It's his first full season. So you got to get a consistent running game in order to see what you really need to see from Gunnar Stockton.
Yeah.
I think he can do it, but we got to see more.
Yeah.
For sure.
I appreciate the phone call, as always. If you guys want to let us know what you're thinking, 447-260-0929.
Also on social, we are taking suggestions or taking any advice as far as burner accounts. And Tish says that she needs a burner account because she says what she wants and definitely has offended folks when she tells them. And she's to speak to nobody but the Twitter universe. They get very upset. So, Tish, go ahead. Invest yourself in a new Twitter account, an X account, whatever you need to get out your feelings.
Yeah, I'm with her. I mean, I sometimes just...
feel like she said it exactly what Bo needed to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just... I don't know. I don't think I can say what I want to say.
I feel like later on we're going to be seeing
on your burner
Bogan
account, you
Freeman.
Can.
Yeah, we're going to see Bogan Freeman
Bogan
later
Freeman.
Today.
I just think there sometimes the need for a burner account is to tell people to, you know, get bent because some people need
one,
to.
Allie?
Calamari cousin.
Calamari cousin.
That's
is
it, Dave.
So good. Like, that is so good. Oh man, I love that.
Kind of
so
makes
much.
Me want some fried calamari.
Are
though.
You hungry now?
I do. I love fried calamari.
I do
love
have
it.
A couple people weighing in on the Which One Wednesday. Jared Gullickson, our buddy, says robbery this morning to Dylan. Robbery.
Of course he does.
Was that from your burner account, Mike?
Yeah. Jared Gullickson's my burner account. His handle is Riggedy Rose, so I don't know. Like, that's probably
that sounds like a Mike Johnson.
I was about to say that does. That ad sounds very
Mike
Johnson-esque.
I won't tell
y'all
what my actual burner account is, but it's very funny. I haven't used it in freaking years. I don't even know if I know the password to it anymore.
How many times did you tweet from the burner
probably
account?
Probably three.
Okay.
Yeah, probably
but you know,
straight
you can,
up three.
You could probably change that password. You could just, like, lost password.
Yeah.
Send it to the email, whatever email you have.
Can I tell y'all just a real quick score? I know we got a couple minutes. So I'm going to tell a story now because she got it back and she was upset about it. But Simone actually got her TikTok hacked for ransom.
No.
Yeah.
This is a thing because my neighbor had the same thing happen. And if she's an influencer, right?
Yeah.
Of
yeah.
Like,
yeah, her TikTok is monetized. Like, she makes money off of it.
Yeah.
And so what happened was,
how long ago was this?
She literally got the account back just like a day or two ago, and this is like, it's been an ongoing thing for like 2 weeks. It was crazy. So I was taking her to the airport early in the morning, like before I even came here, because she was going to Jamaica. So I took her to the airport. She was on her phone just early in the morning. Shouldn't have been on her phone. She got an email, what she thought was an email from TikTok, and it was actually a scam email. Mm. And so she clicked on the link, and then that link obviously, you know, messed her up. And so her account got hacked. The person emailed her and said, I have your TikTok account. You have to pay me. I think it was, I can't remember how it was. It might have been $1,000 or something like that to give me back. It might have been more. I can't remember. But so then she had to reach out to TikTok. TikTok did a good job getting back to her. And then, long story short, she got her account back. But
that's
she,
crazy,
she was,
dude.
I mean, she was literally on the, when it first happened, she was on the verge of tears.
Never click on a link that says, hey, go verify your social media. If anything, just go to your actual Twitter app or TikTok app and, you know, double check things and maybe change your password immediately. Like, do never click on the link. The links are the devil.
I told you a couple months ago I got on the phone with my wife's MX hacker.
Really?
Yeah. They sent a link along and it was like, hey, you need to call us, blah, blah. So they basically sent this link along and I had a phone number along with it. And it was like, call to verify if you want to call American Express. And I was like, yeah, call that thing. And the guy's like, do you want us to send you a new card? I was like, no, I don't. I don't want you to, like, oh, well, just for our own security reasons, can you provide us with your address? I was like, no. I just started laughing at the guy. I was like, you're an idiot, dude. Like, I'm not giving you any of this stuff. And my wife's looking at me. She goes, oh, thank God you did that, because I would have been like, oh, yeah, it's this, such and such. I was like, no, I'm not playing this game with this dude. So then I had to call the real Amex and be like, we just got hacked. You need to send a new card and to call the real phone.
Because of you and that story, because you had told me that off the air.
Yeah.
I got, like, some reason randomly my Amazon Prime decided to charge my Amex instead of my Visa, which is one it's normally on.
Yeah.
And I was going
out. Alarm bells go off.
Dude, I'm like, I'm on there chatting on the app, on the Amex app, like, no, stand down, American
Express.
And then I realized the bot was like, you need to double check again. And I go, okay, yeah, we're good. No, we're good. All's well over here.
All right, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about those SEC meetings. I want to talk about the 5+11 format, what that means for a 9-game SEC schedule. We also got a Life of Squid coming at you.
Terry Bradshaw had some not so nice things to say about a possible Steelers quarterback. Morning shift. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, man.
The Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Is that what this is? Gangnam Style? Jesus, Dylan.
Often Gangnam Style.
Yeah. What was the guy's name who sings this?
Psy?
Psy.
Yeah, Psy.
Okay. Oh, my gosh, dude. What a weird period in American history that was.
it can't still be the most viewed thing on YouTube, is it? I'll have to look that up.
Well, it crashed it. It got frozen on a certain billion views.
Did it really?
And it's not moving anymore.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Just insane numbers put up by Psy.
Yeah, I just wanted to play this, you know. Come back, get the vibes right, get the little fist, fist pump going. Yeah.
All right. Anyways, man, nonetheless, we're going to do Life of Squid here in just 1 second. I cannot get over the fact that Simone got her TikTok hacked, dude. Like, I've been thinking about that the entire break.
She was crushed, man. It messed her up pretty much for her whole, like, Jamaica trip, because she was in her feels, like, a good part of the trip. But actually, funny part about this is we were talking – not yesterday, but Monday, we were talking, and she was actually talking about how, like, thankful she was that it actually got hacked for ransom because of the life lessons that she took away from it. And, like, she was able to find some silver linings to it happening.
Wholesome.
I love that line of thinking, man. I always try to, and this, like, goes back, and I've told the story before, we're going to move on to the SEC stuff, but this is kind of a good way to get there. I always talk about the lessons I took from Nick Saban. Like, that's exactly how he would have looked at it. Like, Nick Saban would have been like, you know, it's always about what you do differently, and it's about the process. It's not really about the end goal, and I swear I tried it. So shout out to Simone for that, man. That's good stuff.
I mean, good on her, but what's her follower count at now?
I think she's at 25K on TikTok.
Yeah, I'd be so furious. Oh, yeah, I'd be so mad.
She was definitely tight. And when it first happened, she was tight. Like, I felt so bad because – she was obviously very upset, and I was dropping her off at the airport. And she literally found out, like, we saw the person's email come through like as I was about to drop her off at the airport. So she was obviously very upset. But there came a time and I was, because this again, I was dropping her off before I had to come here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I know you're upset, but looking at my wrist, I kind of got to go. And I felt so bad. Like, I was like, oh, man, this is literally the worst timing. But, I mean, she understood.
Could you imagine Dylan calling in and be like, guys, I'm going to be late. Simone's upset that her TikTok account got hacked, and I got to console her.
Yeah, that would have not have flown.
Yeah.
At that point, they'd be like, bro, just bring her.
Yeah, just bring her with you. I do want to talk a little bit before we get to Life Squid about the SEC meetings going on in Destin. And we talked yesterday a little bit about the 4-4-2-2-1 model, the four automatic qualifiers for the Big Ten, obviously two for the ACC and the Big 12, and then the highest, I guess, at large, whatever, you know, however you want to call it, it would have been Notre Dame, obviously, with the other one. It sounds to me, and listening to guys like, you know, Pat Forty, who we had on last week, that some of the conversation going on around this, and Greg Sankey said, listen, I'm open for ideas. One of the things that seems to be gaining steam is this 5+11. Now, you still have to go to 16 teams, which obviously not everybody's going to be on board with. You still have to make that happen. But it looks like in order to get to the point where you get more SEC teams in, that maybe there's some people down there talking about they would be open to the fact that you would just do the +11 model, which would have included three extra SEC teams a year ago, not just the four. It would have included, you would have had six total. That also lends itself to this conversation about the nine SEC games. And that's really what I think the bulk of everything that, you know, people are wanting to talk about is these SEC games. Can you keep these rivalries intact? Can you keep Alabama, Tennessee? Can you keep Georgia, Auburn once you go to this new model, you know, without adding the extra game? And I know this was a conversation last year, guys, about, hey, how can they, you know, lend itself to getting extra money out of ESPN by adding the game? I think this is going to happen. I think you're going to go to a nine-game schedule in the SEC where you have basically a spot where you rotate and play every opponent twice every 4 years. You also have your, you know, Iron Bowl, things like that, and then you get the one opponent where it seems like it's going to be able to stick around in SEC play. All that to say, a lot of conversation around the scheduling and whether or not you'd want to play the nine-game conference schedule. It's just, it is what it is at this point.
Well, what would be the downside of a nine-game SEC schedule? I mean, why would anyone complain about having more games on the schedule?
Yeah.
I can tell you.
Okay.
Georgia and Florida both had two of the toughest schedules in the country last year. I've got Florida's pulled up for this year. Okay? You play, I don't even know who the hell LIU is, but they have them on August 30th.
Long Island.
And then they have,
I'm just kidding, I don't
know. I don't know, it's a shark logo, so let me click on that team. Let's see what they are. LIU Athletics. Still don't know who it is. All right, we'll get back to that. I'll figure out who it is later. But imagine you play them, and then you play South Florida, and then you play at LSU, at Miami, home versus Texas, at Texas A&M, home versus Miss State, Georgia and Jacksonville, at Kentucky, at Ole Miss, home versus Tennessee, and home versus Florida State. Now, let me tell you something, Allie. You said, what would be the downfall? And I'm not being aggressive at you. I'm just talking, you know, like I talk. So you replace LIU with
Long Island. It is, by the way.
Long Island. Replace them with, I don't know, Alabama. Or who else is really strong right now in the SEC?
Well, Alabama's opening with Florida State. That kind of lends itself to your point.
But yeah. I'm just saying, all right, but you.
Yeah, I know what you
but
mean.
But you replace.
You're already starting to have the Big Ten SEC crossover games, which are happening
yeah,
every year.
Yeah, so you take South Florida out, right? Because South Florida would have been there. I mean, what are you going to, you know, now if Miami's going to go away, actually, so South Florida can stay and you can put another LIU in there. But essentially, Florida has one game. You know, we always talk about the garbage games. They have one game that's a garbage team, which is LIU, Long Island.
Which they didn't have last year.
No.
They didn't have a garbage game last year.
They did. I can't remember who it was. It was somewhere similar. But that's not easy. I mean, now, you know what? You want to do it where it hits home?
It is an interesting point because I think a lot of times people talk about this and it's like, well, Kentucky wants to remain with bowl eligibility, or Kentucky doesn't want to go to nine games because they still have to win six to go to bowl, or Vanderbilt or whoever it may be, which makes that more of an uphill climb because you can't schedule three games against UMass.
Georgia has Marshall at home and Austin Peay at home to start the season.
Right.
Then they go on the road to Tennessee. by home versus Alabama, home versus Kentucky, at Auburn, home versus Ole Miss. Off week, Jacksonville, where they play Florida, they at Miss State, home versus Texas. Then they have a couple of patsies. Then they have Charlotte, and then Georgia Tech at Georgia Tech.
So they're actually a great candidate for people that were in favor of adding this game.
Yeah, but when you look at I just picked Florida because I knew how tough their schedule was. They're just go ahead and fire whoever their coach is if you add a ninth game. I think the problem for most of these guys, Allie, to get to the meat and bones of it, is it's someone's getting royally screwed if they want to keep rivalries out of conference, like Florida State, Miami, Georgia Tech.
I know we got to get a live squid, though, but don't you think that there's it also benefits Florida to rotate all the other opponents as much as you would given a nine-game schedule if you stick with that format where you're playing every other two teams? Because remember, their crossover game used to be LSU.
It still is,
in the old schedule. That's rough.
I think LSU's staying. I don't think they got rid of that crossover
game.
That's
tough, man. That was always a tough draw when LSU got so good.
I guess my question is, you know, that's the rotation. That rotation is going to probably come up every what? Every five or six years?
You would play every two team. You play every team twice in 4 years.
Yeah, so they're going to.
Other than that opponent.
Yeah,
yes,
they're going to get that rotation a lot. So that's going to be rough for them. Don't forget, go to WSauce.com. It's Baron Burton's WSauce. But if you go to WSauce.com, get 15% off your order today if you use the promo code SQUID, S-Q-U-I-D. You can even order, I guess, from your burner account. I don't know.
Sniffle pod.
Don't forget my friends at New Realm Brewing, the Allen Lager, official beer of Kansas State Athletics. Terry Bradshaw had some harsh words about Aaron Rodgers and how the Steelers should feel about him coming. I mean, let me say something. Y'all think I go in on people on Twitter? Listen to this.
That's a joke. That is just, to me, is a joke. What are you going to bring him in for 1 year? Are you kidding me? I mean,
that's
that
not
guy
the Steelers' way, right?
No, man. That guy needs to stay in California and go,
thank
go
you.
Somewhere and,
thank
and
you.
Chew on bark. And I had to go over and introduce myself to him. I had to go, hey, Aaron, I'm Terry Bradshaw. I know he knows me, but I just felt like I better tell him who I am.
Yeah.
And not, you know, you walk in there and you get in his presence and you feel like it's going to start snowing.
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, chew on bark, he says.
Yeah. Terry Bradshaw is officially reached that age where he's like.
DGAF.
Yeah.
He is insane level of DGAF.
I mean,
right now.
Dude, it's kind of funny. It's kind of. It's. You know what it is? Is there's so many people walking on pins and needles what they say and don't say about others, and especially the harder to get along with types like Aaron Rodgers. And then you get the dude that Charles Barkley is one. It's why we love Charles Barkley, because he's not even at that age and he doesn't care.
Yep.
But Bradshaw's like, yeah, I'm going to retire in like a year or two, so I'm just going to
– I'm out.
I'm going to call him a tree hugger. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's pretty much what he's chew on bark. I mean, you know.
Hell yeah, that's exactly what he was trying to say.
Yeah. Which is weird because – Aaron Rodgers has entered that state where no matter what side of the spectrum on your own, you pretty much hate him, which is kind of crazy.
Shout out to Terry Bradshaw, just letting it fly. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We come back, our very own Falcons insider, Mr. Joe Patrick, in the house. We'll have a chance to catch up with him about all the goings-on up in Flowery Branch, the latest with the Atlanta Falcons. Stick with us here on The Morning Shift. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks for joining us. It's The Morning Shift with Mike, Bo, myself, Allie Mack at 8:42. We've been talking a lot about the Falcons today, which we have Joe Patrick here, our Falcons insider here at 92.9 The Game. Of course, Falcons had OTAs yesterday. We'll get to that in a minute, Joe. Thank you for being
I'll
here.
Wait.
Before we get to that, we've been talking about burner accounts on social media.
Yes.
Do you happen to have one?
Oh, hell yes, he has one.
I absolutely have a burner.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Yes. I bet you solely tweet about soccer.
It's Poe Jatrick.
Right. What's your name?
Well, it wouldn't be a burner account if I gave away.
I was trying to trick you.
It wouldn't be a burner
account.
Literally zero people in the world know about my burner account.
Well, wow. Not anymore.
I admit that I have one, but nobody actually knows how to find me on there.
Oh,
I can't follow the same people on both my accounts because that's when you get in real trouble.
The algorithm will take over.
I don't even use the other account honestly to tweet at all. I just kind of use it to read stuff because I don't want to read certain stuff on my work account. So that's
what kind of stuff are you reading?
I was gonna say
it's stuff that
you know what?
I'm not gonna say the guy's name, but there is somebody that probably needs one that I'm thinking.
Oh, I know a couple people that should really be having a burner account to like and people. Read the stuff that they do.
I'm gonna have to ask off air who you're referring to.
And the thing is, it's not like I can't say it. I just don't want to put him on blast because everything he does is public on Twitter. It's like, dude, calm down.
Well, if you need an extra one, Joe, I did ask ChatGPT and it suggested a Quiet on the Nest for you since you're our Falcons insider.
I like that.
That's like fancy branding. That's awesome.
And like we talked about earlier, Dylan brought up, it was like some of these are just straight up fantasy team names.
You know what they I mean? Are. Yeah. Or podcast names.
When I first started here, I talked to Mike Bell and he was like, you know, I was like a young reporter, whatever. Not young, but he was like, you got to come up with a brand. You got to be like Joey Balls. That's what he recommended.
Squid Billy.
I mean, he gave me Squid Billy, and I hated it for a while. And then all of a sudden, that's actually,
credit.
I was like, why is no one following me on Twitter? And a buddy of mine was like, shout out to Mark Bettino, who used to work promotions. He was like, what's your name on there? I said, Bo Morgan. He's like, nobody knows who the hell Bo Morgan is.
Right, yeah.
But Squid Billy. And I did, and all of a sudden I got followers. I was like, damn it.
Good idea.
Now I'm stuck.
I got Smoking Joe from Randy.
There you go.
Yeah.
But that's good. That's Joey Balls is dumb. Smoking Joe
agree,
is good.
I think I got the good one.
That's exactly what Joe Holly's nickname was in the locker room, Smoking Joe Holly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Smoking Joe Holly.
Nice. Well, Joe, last year up at Flowery Branch, I know you were out there yesterday, but last year everybody was talking about the vibes. Everyone was so excited. Kirk Cousins had just arrived. A little bit different situation this year. Mm-hmm. We have Michael Penix now. So what was the vibe check yesterday? Is everyone still just as excited?
Yeah, I think absolutely people are excited. And, it's kind of funny. I feel like it was a little bit of a downer because if you look outside this weather we've got, it was cold, dreary. And it just kind of, I think, made for a little difficult day, especially on offense for, Michael Penix. I will just say I thought he was pretty sloppy, as inaccurate, I guess, as I've seen him before. But it's not like I've seen him throw a ton. But it's also the first day of OTAs. And so you don't know if it's even him or if it's, potentially receivers not hitting landmarks and that kind of thing. But overall, I think that just it's still a very positive vibe out there. I don't want anybody to think that like things were down because of that. I think that everybody's excited. And obviously you've got these young rookies that I think are injecting a lot of kind of energy into the whole process.
No, I heard you, right? You just said Michael Penix to have sophomore slump.
Honestly, I was literally about to say it's refreshing to hear a bit of honesty because so many times we get caught in these offseason narratives where it's like, Kyle Pitts going off.
Right, exactly.
You know, like Drake London, 2,000 yards receiving. Like, Kirk Cousins is just a game changer. And then you see them hit the field in week one against Pittsburgh last year, and you're like, what in God's name are we looking at? Like, what just happened?
Yeah.
So it is almost nice to hear a little bit of honesty come out in that. And to your point, like, it just happens. Sometimes in the OTAs, in day number one, that kind of comes to fruition. And we talked all day about Darnell Mooney, some of the cuts from Darnell Mooney yesterday, talking about his relationship with Michael Penix. Is there anybody else that, like, I don't want to say stands out at this point because that's just stupid to ask after one OTA, but like, is there conversation happening amongst the media members where it's like, oh man, we got to go focus on this person?
Well, I mean, it's always Bijan is like the player that you want to be watching just because he's so fun to watch as a like if he's doing a drill, it doesn't even matter. Like if it's a team play, whatever it is, he's just so exciting to watch athletically. But I think like as far as Penix goes in the passing game, I think everybody's really excited about Drake, obviously. I mean, he is going to be the superstar for this team. And I really, truly do think that I mean, he broke out last year, was fourth in the NFL in receiving yards, but I think it's, onwards and upwards for him with a guy like Michael Penix at the helm. Because you can really tell Penix is very willing to just launch that ball downfield. Like, there were a couple plays where, the play's kind of breaking down a little bit, and he's just willing to throw it deep. And knowing that there's nobody back there except for maybe his own guy can get back there. And it's not necessarily that those are going to be completed, but I think it just gives Penix, London, Mooney, opportunities to make some of these big plays. And something Mooney said was that he actually wants more house call type plays.
Yeah, like played it earlier.
Yeah, he had
three broken tackles, he said. I'm sign me up, dude.
That's what you want to hear from your receivers.
What the hell did Darnell Mooney mean when he said his villain era? You said so. Yeah, so, yeah. So you know, Joe tweeted this yesterday, real quick. Yeah. If you can go to Smoking Joe Patrick on Twitter now, it says this is at J.A. Patrick 200 on Twitter, and he said y'all gave him the nice guy award for the media. Every year you give the award.
Yep.
He goes, yeah, I gave it. Y'all gave me that in my villain era. Like what? And I love Darnell. We interviewed Darnell.
Yeah,
and he's great.
Second year high school.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is he really?
No, that's where we interviewed.
Okay. No, I'm right, saying that's where we interviewed.
He doesn't exist.
No, he's actually from Oxford, Alabama.
Yeah.
Right.
No, it's kind of funny because that's like it just that goes to show Darnell's sense of humor. You know, he's like clearly trying to get us, and maybe his villain era is that like his NWO style, year
Hollywood Hogan.
Exactly.
We need to give him a black and white Squid Nation shirt. I hope he stays in. He had 1,000 yards last year.
Well, I thought it was cool what he said about, like, I'm not here for 1,000 yards, because that was obviously what was, like, at first asked, you know, because I'm sure it's disappointing for a receiver. And he didn't seem all that disappointed at all. He's just, like, not really focused on that whatsoever, which I think is exactly what you want to hear if you're a Falcons fan.
We are talking with Joe Patrick, 92.9 The Game, Falcons insider. There is, obviously, the conversation about the absences yesterday. Kirk Cousins not in the building. Kyle Pitts not in the building. Caleb McGarry, Ray McLeod. I'm curious from your standpoint. And we're going to get to what those mean in just a minute. But from your standpoint, is it just simply where you walk out there and you start doing a head count and you're like, wow, Kirk's not here? Or is there like a whisper around the building where like a David Bass, he's like, hey, just so y'all know, Caleb McGarry's absence, excuse. You know, what's the process of you understanding at that point, wow, Kirk's not in the building?
Yeah, the way we find out these things are you either ask the coach before practice starts or you walk outside and, you start taking attendance. You know, you just go through the list. You've got your roster every time you go out there and you just start
looking.
It's
supposed to be 90. I'm only counting 85.
Right, exactly. Well, it's easier, too, when they break out into their position groups. And, for example, Kyle Pitts, it's like there's only a handful of tight ends out there. Yeah. Pretty easy to see that he's not involved. So, that's typically how we find out.
Well, with those four that were missing yesterday, who does this give an opportunity to? Like, who is taking their reps?
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, honestly, people probably don't think about it that much, but like for the offensive linemen, I think it's good for Storm Norton to get some reps, you know, because Caleb McGarry was one of the players who's not there. So for Storm Norton, he's going to be an important player for this team, I think. Jack Nelson, obviously a rookie. He wasn't playing with the first teamers, of course. But I think it just gives, in general, guys to get some opportunities. Charlie Warner, obviously, taking the mantle at tight end yesterday with Kyle Pitts not being there. And I think that's honestly, you know, probably a piece at tight end that they feel like is maybe they can get more utility out of down to down than they can with Kyle. They can certainly do some things with Kyle and get some mismatches, but what with the blocking and kind of the gadget piece that Charlie Warner can be, I think that he's going to take advantage of his
Jack
time
of all
out there
trades.
For sure. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Should the Falcons have Kirk Cousins? And I'm just kidding. I can't do any more Kirk Cousins crap. I mean, well, that stuff is acknowledging.
It was Pitts that really kind of got people worked up. The fact that
should've.
He wasn't there. Yeah. And I will say, Penix said that he's been throwing with Pitts this offseason, so it's not like he's just been totally absent. And Penix has said that he looks good. But I should also say that there's no one until the players get back and we can ask them. No one really knows. In fact, the club is not even allowed, per the CBA, to ask the players why they're not at these activities, because they are purely voluntary.
Let's talk about somebody that was there, though. And I just wanted to have fun with that, because if I hear Kirk Cousins on this radio station one more time, I might drive into a brick wall. But in all seriousness, Ryan Neuzel was there.
He was.
Now, he's not signed yet, but he was there. Talk about how he can be there and what team he was working with yesterday.
Yeah, so, I mean, not only was he there, but, I mean, he was in full uniform, practicing with the first teamers. He was the starting center for this team, and that's what he will be this season. The situation with him is that while he's not under contract with the Falcons, he is under tender. So basically what that means is that he can't really technically sign for any other team, and ultimately he kind of will need to either land on the Falcons or not play football, which is not going to happen. I have to think that one of the reasons why he hasn't signed that contract yet is because he knows he's going into a year being the starter. He's been kind of a reserve his whole career, and I'm sure he might want some guaranteed money, some more years on that contract to just give himself a little bit of a buffer, a little bit of a reward, honestly, for ascending to this level in his career. But it will get worked out. I have no doubt about that, judging by the fact that he filed paperwork with the league. I think it's called a medical waiver that allows him to actually participate with the team despite not being on the roster.
Yeah. Finishing up here with 92.9 The Game's Falcons insider Joe Patrick. Is there anybody that stood out as in terms of like playing up or down a group? I think that's one of the biggest things. Like it used to be kind of a head turner, even for us on the field, when you walk out and you look at the defensive group and one of the guys who that you're in the rookie locker room with maybe steps in and gets a rep with the first guys back in the secondary. So I'd be like, oh, yeah. Wow. Hey, that guy's back there getting a rep with the ones, man. Check that out. Anybody like that yesterday?
Yeah. There was one rookie that basically got any time with the other veterans, the first teamers, and that was Jalen Walker, sure. the team's first overall pick. Although he wasn't like starter. It was Zach Harrison and Leonard Floyd were the starters kind of on the edge. At least in their nickel packages, which is basically only what I saw them in.
I was going to say, that's what you're going to start with this day and age anyways, yeah. Right?
And so there was a rep where I believe both the edges jumped off sides. It wasn't Zach Harrison, though. I think it was maybe have been Arnold Ebikadi. I know Leonard Floyd is one of them. They got those guys out of there. And Jalen Walker was one of the ones who got the run in to take his place.
Let me nerd out for a second.
He was looking big, by the way.
Let me nerd out for a second. Who was the quarterback that got him to jump off sides?
Ooh, you know what? That's a good question.
If Michael Penix is getting those veterans to jump off sides, I'm like, yes!
Right, yeah. Yes! Yeah, yeah.
We know it wasn't Kirk, so.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah. I wish I would have known.
Check that out.
Looked out for that.
No, we ain't got time for no more.
Oh,
it's
well,
54.
I thought you were going to fit it in. Anyways.
No.
Joe, what's the upcoming OTA schedule? Like, when are they back on the field? How many times a week? When will we get minicamp?
So we'll be back there. I mean, they'll be there, obviously, throughout the week, but we media will only be able to get there about once a week. That's the media schedule. So we'll be back there again next Monday or Tuesday, again early next week, kind of similar to this week.
And how many – what's the set number, real quick? Now I do have another question. We were talking about that. I saw like minicamp was like 9 or 10, I think. Is that it? Is there only like 10 of those of the OTAs? It used to be Mike thought when he played there was like 14.
I thought it was a little bit more, baby.
14
I might
dates.
Be wrong.
Gosh,
about that.
It's a great question. I'm not sure. I just know that like media doesn't have access to every single OTAs, mm-hmm.
right.
And so I believe that next week will be OTAs, and then I think the week after that is when minicamp will begin.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, I think it's the 8th or 9th. Somewhere. Yeah. Like that. Yeah.
Well, hopefully we can have you back next week
absolutely.
Or in the near future. Appreciate
well,
you hanging out with us.
He's in studio now a lot. We
can
see
him around whenever you guys want.
Telling you, I saw him a couple weeks ago walking here. I was like, we need to get him in the studio.
You got a cool Braves hat too.
I just said the same thing a minute ago when he walked in. I said, I wish my big head fit in hats like that, man. I'd rock the crap out of that hat. Anyways, we got to go. We're so far over time. Appreciate you hanging out with us, Joe. We'll touch base with him hopefully next week in the same time, same place. Speaking of same time, same place, right back here tomorrow, 6 a.m., talking all things Atlanta sports. Until then, make sure you
stay cool, Joe Patrick.